Welcome to Vox English. A passenger is at an airport baggage desk after a missing suitcase has been located. The agent needs a complete delivery address before the evening courier route closes. The passenger has a room for tonight and an early train in mind, but the form requires exact details. Listen to the practical questions, the changing time estimate, and the way each speaker responds when one field remains difficult to complete. Let's get started.
Let's start again. Your bag tag ends in 42, and the tracking page says Terminal 3. I need one address for delivery tonight, street, hotel name, and room if you have it.
I live in Bristol, but I'm staying at the Coast House tonight. Room 14, tonight is firm. Tomorrow's more of an open question.
The form asks where you're staying, not where you live. If I send the bag to Bristol, it reaches your flat after your holiday does.
I know. I usually travel with hand luggage. On this trip, I'm checking one bag so I can move around without carrying everything. So far, that decision isn't making the trip calmer.
The bag has been found. The courier normally delivers by 8, but the courier team is covering 3 terminals this evening, and the estimate is getting later. Will the hotel desk accept it after 10?
Yes, they accept bags all night. I'm just not committing to a second night. I choose the next stop in the morning based on the weather and a modest amount of instinct.
The courier needs less instinct and more postcode. Put the Coast House here and sign beneath it.
Suppose I leave before the bag arrives. Could it follow me to the next hotel once there is a next hotel?
We can change the address before the driver collects it. After that, no. Where are you going tomorrow?
I don't know yet. I normally head north if the sky's clear and south if it's raining. I'm taking an early train either way. The point is not to plan all the freedom out of the trip.
At the moment, your bag is in Terminal 3. Your clothes are in the bag, and your route is becoming less flexible by the minute. Do you have anything else to wear?
The airport shirt, these trousers, and a pair of socks I bought beside Gate 12. They're cheerful, but they don't improve the trousers.
Then give the hotel the delivery address and extend the room before their last discounted rate disappears. You can still choose tomorrow's weather after you have clean clothes.
The hotel offered half price for a second night. I told them I don't plan holidays around discounts. Fine, Coast House tomorrow as well. Please don't put the reason on the form.
The form only needs the address. The reason stays between you and the discount.
Dana begins with, "Let's start again." At a service counter, that phrase often means the information has become tangled, and the speaker wants to rebuild it in a useful order. It can sound impatient, but Dana immediately explains the task, so the wording carries more than tone. The bag tag identifies the suitcase, the tracking page gives its current location, and the form needs one place where a driver can take it. Her list, street, hotel name, and room, turns an unclear travel plan into 3 fields that can be checked. Dana loses a valid handoff if she can't finish before the route closes. Miles loses access to the clothes inside the suitcase if the address fails. Those consequences make one address an operational limit, not a conversational preference. Notice also how Dana controls the pace with short statements. She doesn't ask Miles to describe his trip. She asks for information that can go on a form, and every later question serves that same practical goal. Her line, "I need one address," gives us the first important present time choice. Need describes her current state of necessity. The need matters right now, but English normally says, "I need," not "I'm needing," for this meaning. This is a useful correction because importance and immediacy do not automatically require the continuous form. A person at a pharmacy can say, "I need the collection code today." A parent can say, "I need the pickup time before noon." Both needs are urgent, yet need still presents a state. The same principle applies when Dana asks for a location. The action around her is moving, but her requirement is stable throughout the exchange. There are uses of need that behave differently in other constructions, but we don't need a long inventory here. The scene gives us a clear, reusable pattern. Subject plus need, followed by the thing required. Dana's exact noun phrase, one address, also closes the possibility of giving several attractive options and asking the courier to decide. Miles answers with two true locations. "I live in Bristol, but I'm staying at the Coast House tonight." The contrast is central because only one location can receive the suitcase tonight. "I live in Bristol" presents his normal home as a stable fact. "I'm staying at the Coast House tonight" presents temporary accommodation around now. Live can describe a long-term relationship with a place even when the speaker is physically somewhere else. Be staying identifies the shorter situation that covers the delivery window. The time word tonight makes that temporary frame explicit. Miles then says, "Tonight is firm. Tomorrow is more of an open question." Firm and open question already have general definitions in the guide. Here their job is to divide the calendar. Tonight has a settled location, while tomorrow remains undecided. That division also shows why a speaker's idea of what is permanent may be irrelevant to the immediate task. If a restaurant asks where you live for a membership record, your home matters. If a repair service asks where you're staying during a temporary visit, the current address matters. The question and its practical goal decide which fact belongs in the answer. Look at the construction inside Miles's answer. The present simple uses the subject and the base form, "I live." With he, she, or it, the usual affirmative form adds s, as in, "The hotel accepts deliveries." The present continuous uses am, is, or are, plus an ing form, "I'm staying," "she's staying," or "they're staying." The auxiliary carries the subject agreement, while staying carries the activity or temporary situation. Form alone is not enough, however. A listener also uses the time frame and the surrounding purpose. "I stay at the Coast House" could describe a regular choice whenever Miles visits. "I'm staying at the Coast House tonight" describes the current arrangement. A common trap is choosing the continuous simply because a fact is relevant today. Compare, "I live in Bristol, but I need a room tonight." Both statements matter today, yet "live" and "need" describe stable meanings in that context. The temporary room takes the continuous only when the speaker describes the stay itself. "I'm staying near the station," meaning chooses the form. Today's date is supporting evidence, not an automatic switch. Dana confirms the distinction in plain service language. The form asks where you're staying, not where you live. She doesn't give a technical label. She names the two possible answers and connects each one to a result. If she sends the suitcase to Bristol, it reaches Miles's flat after his holiday does. That consequence proves which location is useful. This is a strong model for clarification at a counter or on a call. When two accurate answers could be confused, contrast them directly. "I need the billing address, not the delivery address," or "I'm asking when you're available this week, not what you usually work." The second part is not merely a correction. It shows the reference frame the speaker needs. Dana's final image about the holiday arriving first is dry, but the words alone carry the point. Bristol is too late and too far away for tonight's handoff. Her practical logic closes that option. Dana's tone can add color, but the listener does not need it to understand the consequence. Miles next says, I usually travel with hand luggage. On this trip, I'm checking one bag. This repeats the normal versus temporary contrast with behavior rather than location. I usually travel describes his routine across many trips, usually is a frequency signal, and the present simple fits the repeated pattern. On this trip narrows the time frame to the current journey, while I'm checking one bag describes the choice operating within that frame. The two sentences also protect Miles' self-image. He wants Dana to understand that the missing suitcase resulted from an exception, not from his normal method. That social purpose makes the contrast natural rather than a parade of forms. In everyday speech, the same shape is useful when a routine changes temporarily. I normally cycle, but this week I'm taking the bus. Or, we usually cook, but we're eating out while the kitchen is closed. The time expressions do important work, but they don't mechanically control the form. They help the listener see whether the speaker presents the situation as a regular pattern or a limited current arrangement. Miles's final comment, "That decision isn't making the trip calmer," states the result of his temporary experiment. Dana then combines a service routine with a change in progress. The courier normally delivers by 8 describes the usual pattern. Normally, like usually, points toward repeated behavior, so delivers appears in the present simple with the third person S. But this evening is different. The team is covering 3 terminals, and the estimate is getting later. Getting later does not mean the estimate is performing one activity at this exact second. It presents movement along a scale. An earlier expected time has shifted, and it may shift again. English often uses the continuous with change verbs in this way. The queue is getting longer. The weather is becoming colder. Or, the connection is improving. The change matters because it alters a present decision. If delivery may happen after 10, Dana needs to know whether the hotel desk will accept the suitcase. Her direct question gives the changing estimate a consequence. This is reusable service English. State the normal expectation, name the current pressure, then check the condition that could make the plan fail. The transcript carries all 3 pieces, even without dramatic emphasis. Normal time, later estimate, and overnight acceptance. Miles confirms that the desk accepts bags all night, then adds, "I'm just not committing to a second night." The word just softens and narrows his objection. Hotel policy isn't the problem, the second night is. To commit to something is to make a firm choice or accept a defined responsibility. Here, the complement is the noun phrase, "a second night." Miles isn't saying that a second night is impossible. He is resisting the point at which an option becomes a settled arrangement. His present continuous, "I'm not committing," describes his current refusal to enter that fixed arrangement. It doesn't establish a permanent policy. It shows the position he is taking while Dana waits for the address. The immediate service decision, not his entire future, is in view. That matters to his identity as someone who chooses the next stop in the morning. His explanation, based on the weather and a modest amount of instinct, gives that identity a careful, almost reasonable shape. Yet the courier cannot work from a preference for openness. Before Dana answers, it is worth looking more closely at how commit to turns a general intention into something specific. A rehabilitation program often increases walking through measured weekly targets. An early target may be 10 minutes on 3 days. A later one may add distance or another day. In that structure, commit to the weekly target means accepting it as the agreed plan instead of merely treating it as a good idea. In commit to is a preposition, and the noun phrase names the undertaking. It can refer to a schedule, a distance, regular attendance, or a review date. It does not promise perfectly smooth recovery or remove the need for professional adjustment. It marks the plan that guides action unless the program changes. Commitment is therefore stronger than preference. Preferring 3 short walks describes what seems attractive. Committing to them identifies what is scheduled and expected. After commit to, English can use a noun or an ing form. A rehabilitation plan can include commit to the schedule, where schedule is a noun, or commit to walking 3 times a week, where walking names the activity. The to is a preposition, so it is followed by the ing form, not the base verb. Commit to walk is not the ordinary pattern for this meaning. Compare commit to regular reviews, commit to recording the distance, and commit to a gradual increase. Intend to behaves differently because its to introduces a base verb. Intend to increase the distance. Intention points toward a future action, while commitment adds a firm undertaking. Hope, preference, and possibility are lighter. They can support a plan without showing that a specific target has been accepted. Commitment can include conditions. A target may be subject to clinical review, while the exact walking days remain flexible. The phrase becomes precise when its complement makes the undertaking visible. Commit to improvement is broad. Commit to following the weekly walking plan gives a clear standard for action. In a formal program, commit to may record an agreed responsibility. In ordinary conversation, it can mean stop leaving an option open and make a choice. It is stronger than I'm thinking about it and more definite than I'd prefer to. The construction needs no dramatic delivery because the complement shows what becomes fixed. A noun names the accepted plan. An ing form names the accepted activity. But today we're talking about Miles committing to another hotel night, not a rehabilitation schedule. Back to Dana and Miles at the baggage desk. Dana replies, "The courier needs less instinct and more postcode." She takes Miles's abstract method and replaces it with the missing piece of usable information. Less and more create a compact contrast. Reduce one thing, increase the other. Instinct represents Miles's open-ended way of choosing. Postcode represents a location the driver can actually find. Dana immediately turns that contrast into an action. Put the Coast House here and sign beneath it. That follow-up makes her meaning clear. She isn't debating travel philosophy. She is completing a form. In a contrast like this, speakers usually stress the 2 key nouns, instinct and postcode. This structure is reusable when a conversation has become too vague, although the nouns should fit the situation. We need less background and more timing, or the technician needs less guesswork and more photos. It can sound blunt, so it works best when the practical need is already clear. Dana has earned that directness by asking for 1 address, explaining why Bristol fails, and checking the delivery conditions. Her short line also preserves the voice contrast. Miles expands an option into a principle. Dana reduces a principle to the field that remains blank. Miles still tries to keep tomorrow open. He asks whether the suitcase could follow me to the next hotel. Follow has several uses in the guide. Here it treats the suitcase as something that could be redirected after him. Dana gives a precise boundary. The address can change before the driver collects the bag, but not after. Her answer converts a vague possibility into a deadline. When she asks where Miles is going tomorrow, he says, "I don't know yet." The verb know, like the verb need earlier, describes a state meaning here. The natural form is, "I don't know," not, "I'm not knowing," even though the uncertainty is current, yet adds the idea that an answer may exist later. Miles then returns to routine. "I normally head north if the sky is clear and south if it's raining." Normally, plus the present simple, presents this as his familiar decision method. By contrast, "I'm taking an early train either way," presents the current travel arrangement, We don't need to turn that line into a separate account of future forms. Its immediate job is clear. The train limits the available time, while north or south remains undecided. Miles's phrase, plan all the freedom out of the trip, then makes his protected motive explicit. Dana answers with the second developing change pattern. Your route is becoming less flexible by the minute. Become describes movement from one state toward another, and the continuous form presents that movement as ongoing. By the minute makes the direction and pace easy to hear. This is not an abstract forecast. Dana lists the facts producing the change. The suitcase is in Terminal 3, the clothes are inside it, and Miles has almost nothing else to wear. Each passing minute reduces the practical choices available to him. Compare the route is inflexible, which describes a state, with the route is becoming less flexible, which shows the state changing. Similar everyday patterns include the timetable is becoming harder to manage, and the available dates are getting more limited. The change form is most useful when the movement affects a decision now. Dana's question, do you have anything else to wear? Supplies exactly that link. Miles's answer is concrete. One shirt, the trousers he is wearing, and cheerful socks that do not improve those trousers. His clothing problem can no longer remain hidden inside a discussion about travel principles. Miles had said, the point is not to plan all the freedom out of the trip. The pattern verb something out of something can describe removing a quality through an action. You can talk the energy out of a proposal or organize the surprise out of a celebration. Here, Miles suggests that too much planning would remove freedom until none remained. The wording is imaginative, but Dana answers with ordinary consequences. She tells him to provide the delivery address and extend the room before the last discounted rate disappears. Extend means make the booking longer. Discounted rate identifies a reduced price. Those terms are fully defined in the guide, while their scene function is to create a closing window. The price may stop being available, just as the courier address may stop being changeable. Dana then gives Miles a limited form of agency. He can still choose according to tomorrow's weather after he has clean clothes. She does not reject flexibility altogether. She separates the choice that can remain open from the location that must become fixed now. That distinction keeps her practical rather than controlling, and it gives Miles a way to agree without abandoning every part of his self-image. The final turns reveal that the cheaper second night was already available. Miles says the hotel offered half price for a second night. Half price means paying half the usual price, and its position after offered makes the financial incentive explicit. He had told the hotel that he doesn't plan holidays around discounts, but the suitcase, the clothes, the later estimate, and the expiring rate now point to the same address. His present simple, "I don't plan holidays around discounts," presents a personal principle. His shorter decision, fine, coast house tomorrow as well, accepts a current exception. He still protects the principal by asking Dana not to put the reason on the form. Dana's answer respects the form's actual scope. It needs an address, not a confession. The reason stays between you and the discount, treats the price as the only other party who needs to know. The line is clear from the words alone, because the discount has visibly changed Miles's choice. A dry delivery only adds color. Dana completes her task without humiliating him, while Miles secures the suitcase and clean clothes by fixing one more night. Now, let's listen to the dialogue again, this time at natural speed.
Let's start again. Your bag tag ends in 42, and the tracking page says Terminal 3. I need one address for delivery tonight, street, hotel name, and room if you have it.
I live in Bristol, but I'm staying at the Coast House tonight. Room 14, tonight is firm. Tomorrow is more of an open question.
The form asks where you're staying. not where you live. If I send the bag to Bristol, it reaches your flat after your holiday does.
I know. I usually travel with hand luggage. On this trip, I'm checking one bag so I can move around without carrying everything. So far, that decision isn't making the trip calmer.
The bag has been found. The courier normally delivers by 8, but the courier team is covering 3 terminals this evening, and the estimate is getting later. Will the hotel desk accept it after 10?
Yes, they accept bags all night. I'm just not committing to a second night. I choose the next stop in the morning based on the weather and a modest amount of instinct.
The courier needs less instinct and more postcode. Put the coast house here and sign beneath it.
Suppose I leave before the bag arrives. Could it follow me to the next hotel once there is a next hotel?
We can change the address before the driver collects it. After that, no. Where are you going tomorrow?
I don't know yet. I normally head north if the sky's clear and south if it's raining. I'm taking an early train either way. The point is not to plan all the freedom out of the trip.
At the moment, your bag is in Terminal 3, your clothes are in the bag, and your route is becoming less flexible by the minute. Do you have anything else to wear?
The airport shirt, these trousers, and a pair of socks I bought beside Gate 12. They're cheerful, but they don't improve the trousers.
Then give the hotel the delivery address and extend the room before their last discounted rate disappears. You can still choose tomorrow's weather after you have clean clothes.
The hotel offered half price for a second night. I told them I don't plan holidays around discounts. Fine, Coast House tomorrow as well. Please don't put the reason on the form.
The form only needs the address. The reason stays between you and the discount.
You've heard how Dana separates a permanent home from a temporary stay, and how Miles contrasts his normal way of traveling with what he's doing now. You've also heard change in progress. The estimate is getting later, and the route is becoming less flexible. In everyday conversations, time words and practical consequences make these choices clear. And when a form needs one exact detail, sometimes less instinct and more postcode is useful advice. Thanks for listening to Vox English. See you next time.